We are going to be dealing on one of the topics that I believe will bring us liberty. I believe will set the captives free. I believe will bring us deliverance. And the title of my lesson tonight is The Prison Gates. We've dealt with bronze gates. We've dealt with ancient gates. We've dealt with gates. Now we are going to look at the prison gates. What is a prison? We hear prison, prison, prison. Prison is defined by the dictionary as a legal building to hold people up for punishment for crime they have committed. Prison will hold people up or is built as a place to hold people up to punish them for their crimes, to separate them from the outer world because they have committed a crime. Prison can also be called jail. Detention. Somebody say detention.
Detention.
When we look at that word detention, we know it simply means to hold back.
Prison.
Detention. Jail. Listen, you can detain yourself even while you are still alive. You can detain yourself. You can put yourself in prison. Though you live as a human being, but yet you are in prison. You detain yourself. And of course, anyone that has been detained, how far can you make success in the society? Thank God for the Western prison. That while they are in prison or in jail, they can go to school, they can do everything online. It's not so with a third world country. You are detained. But one good thing about the third world country, even if you are detained or you are in prison or jail, when you come out, we still respect you as long as you are not a criminal. But that's not the same thing in the Western world. It's a whole new ball game. In the Western world, once you are a felony, you will live with guilt for the rest of your life. Because when you go apply for a job, you can't get a good job. You can't get a good job. And even if you do, and you just make a little mistakes, guess what? They want to refer back. Very unforgiving. I said very what? Unforgiving. But yet, when God imprisoned us, we want him to free us. We want God to release us. But we fail to forgive people in the society. We fail to see the fact that it's all right. They commit this crime, but give them a chance. They can still become so. They can turn their life around. Now, I'm not talking about those that will not turn their life around. They were in prison because of drugs. They came out. They stay sober for 2-3 months. They go back on drugs. They go back again to jail. They come out. They stay sober. They go back again to drugs. That is not what I'm talking about. Those ones, in fact, don't bring them out. Just leave them in the jail. Let them live there and die. Because they are coming out, coming back on drugs, becoming a nuisance to society, robbery, because they will need to buy those drugs. And because of that, they want to go loot the shop. Go to smoke shop. Did you see the TV yesterday? Did you see how those big men, look at how they were selling those cigars. That is so pathetic. What a shame. And then when they want to see, because they are fat, you know, now, men, it's a good thing to be fat in America. I tell you, because now they are using it as, I'm not kidding. The other day, those fat women also big. When I mean fat, I mean fat. Excuse my language. And then where she goes, because she's big, she took the whole thing. That is very, very, I mean, very, very eyesore. Took it and put it in her, you know, because she's big. She stuck it in between her armpit. And what is it? Drink, moonshine. Stuck it there. And then, you know, because she's big. So when they were walking, Bombay, where the camera was just there, look. Now look at these ones yesterday. Four or five of them, big. Mm-hmm. So when the other one is taking it, you know, because they are big, so they cover up. No more wrapper. You know, in my place, we use wrapper to cover up. But now it's men. Can you imagine? He might be now covering up. Mm-hmm. And then the other one takes it and put it right in his, you know, in his pocket. So, and this is the shirt. And now you see why they buy big shirts. Now, I'm not talking of those people that will not repent. But I'm talking about those that maybe they made a mistake once in their life. They went to prison. They come out. Give them a chance. Mm-hmm. Give them a chance. Because you wouldn't love it if God imprisoned you. Mm-hmm. I said you can be alive yet be imprisoned in your own mind. Mm-hmm. Now I begin to see why Barak Paul tells us in the book of Romans. Give me Romans. Romans chapter 12. In verse 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, and be not conformed to this world. He said, what? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can only prove what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect in the sight of God. When you are renewed and be transformed in your mind. You see, but when your mind is imprisoned, how then will you think the thought of God? When your mind is in jail, when your mind is being detained by one thing or the other, how will you think the thought of God? No. You rather be conformed. Because every thought about you will be about the world, not about God. We see the Bible begins to show us in the book of Acts. Give me Acts, Acts of the Apostles 5. The book of Acts 16. Give me the book of Acts 16 from verse 24 to 27. Mm-hmm. Acts 16. Who having received such a charge? Acts 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 24 to 27. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, this was talking about Paul and Silas. Give me the next verse. I'm going all the way down to verse 27. The next verse, 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. And in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners have been fled. Listen, that is a story. We all know the story. We even sing the song. That Paul and Silas, they pray, they fast, they sang, right? The Holy Ghost came down. Now, the Holy Ghost came down to do what? To free them from the shackles, to free them from the prison. We need the power of God to free you from every prison. Amen. If it's something we can do by ourselves, listen, many of us will not be doing evil today. No. Many of us will not be perpetuating crimes today. To let you know, it's not something you can do of your own volition. You need the Spirit of God. You need the power of God to release you, to free you from every shackles, from every prison. And suddenly the Bible said there was an earthquake. So that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Do you know, brethren, that there's going to be a shaking today? I feel it in my spirit. I've been feeling this since yesterday. I said, Lord, there's something you want to do with this lesson. I'm believing. Whether you believe with me or not, that doesn't even bother me. But I believe in my spirit that there is something that will be shaken out of our lives in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because when we look at the life of Peter, give me Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, from verse 5 to verse 10. We are looking at men that were in the physical prison, and yet the Holy Ghost loosed them bound. I'm coming. Men that were in the physical prison. Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. I believe, Lord, tonight, my chains will fall off.
My chains will fall off.
I don't know about you, but I believe, Lord, every chain that has chained me, every yoke, every fetter that have held me bound will be broken tonight because of the Spirit of God, because of the anointing of God. It is broken.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in verse 8, and the angel said unto him, "Gird yourself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And in verse 9, and he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. And in verse 10, when they were past the first and the second world, they came unto the iron gate. Somebody said, iron gate.
Iron gate.
That led into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. The iron gate opened to them of what? His own accord. In other words, every bronze gate must open to us, whether he likes it or not.
Amen.
If you're not getting me.
Amen.
I said every gate of bronze.
Yes.
Every iron gate.
Yes.
Because the Lord God Almighty, because the man of war is leading the battle. So, and because he said, our case is different, because he said tonight, you are made free.
Yeah.
As we are coming out of our predicament, as we are coming out of our problems, as we are coming out of our sicknesses, whether the iron gate likes it or not, it's going to open up, because the Lord says, open up.
Amen.
Of his own accord. I don't need to pray, I don't need to fast, because I have prayed, I have fasted. No, the Lord said, this is my season. Somebody say, my season. So whether the iron gate likes it, it has to open up.
Yes.
Because every demons, every powers must lift up their head.
Amen.
The King of Glory must come in. You see, the iron gate
yes.
is an offense. The iron gate, remember, when we dealt with the iron gate last week, iron gate is what? It detests you, it stops you, it blocks you. Now, if the iron gate was not commanded by the Spirit of God to open up of his own accord, Peter would have been caught the second time. But because it's not his season to die, it's not his season to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
When the angel of the Lord broke every fetter and every chain and brought him out of prison, you see, we came out of prison in July because the Lord says restoration. Now, it is expected that we restore. It is expected that we begin to envisage miracles. But what is going on? But tonight, I believe that is the Spirit of the Lord speaking, that my people are out from prison gates. You all are out from every prison gate. And because we are out from every prison gate, I begin to see this iron gate even begin to open up. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Gehazi came back to Elijah and said, "I see a cloud arising. I see a cloud like the five fingers of man." I'm not telling you tonight that I see a cloud. But I tell you something. I see the glory of the Lord coming down.
Amen.
I'll tell you something tonight. I see every prison shattering because of you.
Amen.
I see tonight every iron gate, every gate of bronze, every ancient gate, oh, bind down because it is time.
Amen.
I'm not giving up hope just because things are not working the way I anticipated. No. I also know that the devil is not going to make it easy because you know there is victory. Somebody say victory.
Victory.
When you are locked up in the prison of your mind, reach out and praise. Defy those chains. Be loose and you will be made free. If it happened for Peter and it happened for Paul and Silas, what about you? But the reason why many of us are still locked up in the prison of our mind is the fact that we believe that there is no way through. Just because somebody said you are not good enough, does that mean you should accept that you are not good enough? No. They said it with their mouth. But I'm not going to let that lock me up in my mind.
Amen.
But I'll begin to tell my mind, I'm good. As a matter of fact, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
I will find my own caucus. Like my husband came in and said, oh, you're having your caucus meeting. I will find my own caucus, my own circuit, and I will work with them. They will love me and I will love them. Well, the reason why you feel I'm not good enough is because I don't belong to you. And because they said it, I said what? Do not let that get into you. When you let that get into you, then you start feeling that you are not good enough. Now you have locked yourself up in a prison. And what would that bring you at the end of the day? Depression? High blood pressure? If you're not careful, you become bipolar. And then might grow to become schizo. Pain. Cancer, cholesterol, high blood pressure, name it. Prison, prison. Many die in the physical prison because when you are in the physical prison, you don't get nourished. No, you don't get nourished. I don't care how you eat, you don't get what? Nourished. Now bring your mind back home and think about it when you are in a spiritual prison. You are not going to be nourished. Spiritually, you will not be nourished. Mentally, you will not be nourished. Your joy is taken from you. Your peace is taken from you. I know many of us, in one way or the other, one time in our lives, we've been in prison. Not as though men brought you and took you and handcuffed you and put those chains in you and put you in the prison, but because of the circumstances, because of the tribulation, because of the trial that we've been through, we lock ourselves up in the prison. And when we lock ourselves up, America have a word for it. Oh, you know, I just want to be me. I just want to be me. Just let me be me. No, you can't be you because that is prison.
Amen.
I wish, why let you be me? And you come out after you mean, and then you come out and things change, then that would have been better. But unfortunately, after let me be me, let me just be, you know, me. I just want to keep to myself for now. I just don't want. I wish when you come out, you are better. Then that would have been a very good thing to emulate. But I'm not ready to emulate let me be me. Because let me be me, at the end of the day, when I come out from being me, I'm still the same person. The issue is still there. The problem is still there. So why don't you just leave? Let me be me. When I'm in problem, when I'm in situation, when I'm in tribulation, I look for my sisters, and then I want to hang out with you all. And I want to share the word of God. I want to talk about things that will bring me joy.
Yeah.
So that when we begin to talk about things that will bring me joy, guess what? I get myself out of my prison.
Yeah.
Because that's just the devil that just want to put me in prison. Unknown to me. You know, it's all right. Let me just put on my put up my comforter and just shut off the light and everyone will be dark. That is depression. Prison gates are used by the devil to lock up people's destinies, to lock up people's ministries. Glory, virtues, blessings, and testimonies. Why would an individual that God has touched you? What stops you from testifying? No, you refuse to because the devil has locked you up in his prison. Do you want to say it? Why? Are you really sure? Are you really sure that that miracle will last? Well, listen to me, Mr. D. Whether the miracle will last or not, I'm still going to pick up the microphone and tell God, thank you. I rather prefer I tell God thank you than to shut my mouth up. I rather prefer to sing praises before the congregation of the righteous than to keep my mouth shut. But when I'm out of the church, then I'm the loudest parrot. Is that not hypocrisy? So, and if I'm asking God for healing, what makes me feel that God then is going to heal me? Because God knows that I will be a hypocrite. I'm supposed to come into the house of the Lord and shout my testimony and tell the congregation of the righteous to see what God has done. But because when we allow the devil to lock us up in the prison, in his prison, and they will begin to doubt, I don't want to say it. You know, I don't want to say it because I don't know. I'm not sure. Some will not even want to talk because they don't like the pastor. So they'll be like, when I say it now, oh, sure, who is she? Oh, when I say it now, maybe all the glory will come to her. So I better not say it. She didn't do nothing. Tell me if I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying is absolutely true. But anyone with that frame of mind is because you are locked up in the devil's prison. That is why you cannot open your mouth wide and testify. Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it up. He said, I wish my people would open up their mouth. I would have driven away the devourer out of their life. But because we refuse to open our mouth, then we are what? In prison. The devil tried to lock up and cut short the ministry of the apostles. But God sent his angel of deliverance to deliver them out of the prison gates. He wants to shut them. But God says, no, I'm not going to let you succeed this time. Now, spiritual prison can also be movement without motion or stagnancy. Spiritual prison will keep you in a state of stagnancy. You become motionless. Everyone in the prison, in the jail, they don't go nowhere. They are in the same circle. So if they have been in prison for 50 years, think about it. Just think about it. You are seeing the same people for 50 good years. I have never seen who they have given 50, 40 years that lasted that long. And even if they do last and they come out of jail, don't you see, they die. Because by the time they come out, they're not used to everything they see. Because while in prison, they don't see the cars moving. They don't know how the highways are. They don't know how the market looks like. They don't know how the mall looks like. So they've stayed there for 40 good years. And now you brought them out and you expect them to blend in the society. It's scary. So that's why you see that at least I know of 80% of those that came out from prison, some shoot themselves to commit suicide. Some, they will commit another crime so that they go back. Because they will tell you, I can't adapt. We read about this every day. We see them. Now, if the devil locks us up in our spiritual prison, how do you think we'll be able to move? How do you think we'll be able to see things right? How do you think we'll be able to read the word of God and have understanding? How then do we think that, oh, even while the preacher is preaching, that our hearts will perceive? If you take the Holy Ghost, I said, to release you from physical or spiritual prison before you can be made free. You know what Christ said? Whomsoever the Son of Man has made free, he is free indeed. You can never be free except you are in captive. And everyone held captive is a prisoner. But I'd rather prefer to be held captive by Jesus Christ than to be a captive of the devil. Because if I'm a captive of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I know he's going to lead me to a safe place. When his time comes, he's going to bring me up. He's going to pay me back. But when the devil puts you in captivity, he's only there to destroy you, to kill you, to maim you. That's all. Because he cometh not but to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Think about this, brethren. It is possible to be imprisoned by depression. Very easy to be imprisoned by depression. Your marriages can be imprisoned. He can imprison you with sicknesses, barrenness, failures, addiction. Dramatic change. We need a dramatic change tonight. We need a dramatic change in our character, in our appearance, in our business, in our church.